Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We're talking about mothers in Israel, church mothers, women of God, godly women, who make up their minds to be mothers to all in the church. You know, the church needs a lot of mothering. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we're going to look at that. We're going to explore that this week as we consider Deborah. Our scripture text comes from Judges chapter 5, verse 7. It reads, "The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks yet again. We praise you. We honor you. We love you, Lord. Now, Lord, teach us today. Teach us why you made them two, male and female, father and mother. Father, bless us. We know that a home that is missing the father is a home that is handicapped. A home that is missing the mother is also a home that is handicapped. You made the team two, male and female, mother and father, sun and moon. Bless us, O God, as we consider this study. this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Tuesday, July 19th, we're looking at mothers-to-be, transgenerational change agents. Transgenerational, which means that they are able to impact their generation, their children's generation, and their grandchildren's generation. Transgenerational. A woman of God, if she puts her mind to it, a woman of God, if she serves the Lord and the Lord's people with every fiber of her being, she can impact 3 to 4 generations. Yes, she can. So let's look at this. Let's look at the first bullet point, Judges chapter 5, verse 7, part B, part C. Now, part A is the inhabitants of the villages ceased. Part B, they ceased in Israel. Part C, until that I, Deborah, arose. So there you have the text. There you have it. Part A, B, and C. Deborah, the prophetess. Deborah, the judge. Deborah, the wife. Deborah, the warrior, did not take apostasy. What is apostasy? Well, apostasy is when the church is going backwards instead of forwards. Apostasy is when the church adopts things that are contrary to the will of God, and because of this action, the church starts to go backwards. It starts to lose its power. It starts to lose its strength. It starts to lose this communication with God. That's apostasy. When we adopt false teachings, when we adopt worldly teachings into the church, we go off the track. We go off the path that we're supposed to be on as pilgrims on our way to heaven. There's a path. You get off of God's prescribed path and you get on one of Satan's paths, you have apostatized from the faith. So, Deborah did not take apostasy, and what was the apostasy? Well, we read, let's go back, because we always like to refer to Scripture. Let's go back to Judges chapter 4, Judges 4. It says here in Judges chapter 4, verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Ehud was one of the judges. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, did this Jabin and his captain Sisera. 2 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And then chapter 5, verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. So notice, Jabin, the Canaanite king, was in power. He was a mighty king. He had 900 chariots whose wheels were not made of wood. They were made of iron. These were primitive tanks, if you will. And because he had these 900 chariots of iron, he was able to crush his opponents in battle. And he mightily oppressed. But why were the people of God oppressed? Because they backslid. Because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to those whom they went a-following. And so here we have it. Deborah sees the apostasy and all of its depressing ramifications. What are the depressing ramifications? Well, chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. Listen, when you have a church in decline, when you once had a church that can sit 250 people and you had 400 squeezing in every Sunday, those were the heydays of the church. You can seat 250 and you were squeezing in 400. Those were good times. But now Deborah says, attendance ceased. People were afraid to come out. The oppressors were out in the streets exercising their might and their power, and it says they ceased in Israel. But things changed. When did they change? They changed when the change agent showed up. Mothers like Deborah, godly mothers like Deborah, holy mothers like Deborah are to be transgenerational change agents. Why? Because the Israelites were not out and about. Who were the Israelites? Well, the grandmas and the grandpas. There were elderly Israelites. And then the sons and daughters of the grandmothers and the grandfathers. And then those children had children. So you have three generations. You have grandma's generation, you have mom and dad's generation, and you have the children's generation. You have three generations, and they're all in hiding, and they're all afraid to come out, and they're all afraid to live. Why? Because Jabin had his thugs out in the street, and they had their army fully vested, fully in power, fully empowered, if you will. And any time an Israelite showed up in the streets without proper papers or beyond the curfew or beyond the time which martial law declared that they could be out, they were in big trouble. Then Deborah arose and things changed. Mothers are to be what? Change agents. Now, here's the thing. We don't have, listen to me, saints, we do not have any mention of Deborah being a mother. We don't. We know she's a wife. We know she's a judge. We know that she's a prophetess. We know that she's a warrior. But there's no mention of her having her own children. Now, perhaps she did, and their names are not listed. That's a possibility. But nonetheless, let's say she did have children. Well, the text says that she was a mother, a spiritual mother, to the whole nation. How can a woman today in church be a mother to the whole congregation? How? By being a change agent. Let's read the little notes in bracket. Deborah did not take apostasy and all its depressing ramifications sitting down. The Bible says she arose. She saw what she saw, and she was fed up, and she says, that nonsense ends today. We're going to do something about it. The Lord and this woman decided something was going to change, and the Bible says, and she arose. In Hebrew, it's a short little word, the word to arise or arose. If you transliterate the Hebrew letters into English, it's spelled Q-U-M, Q-U-M. And the word really means to get up, to produce change. When you arise, let's say you arise, well, you arise to go cut the grass. The grass is high, so you get up from the kitchen table. You're sitting down having a cup of coffee in your kitchen table, and you decide that today you're going to get on your lawnmower and you're going to do all the grass on your property. Well, you arise. You've been talking good. Well, today's the day. Today's the day that the grass is going to get cut. But nothing changes until you get up from your seat, walk out of the kitchen, get into your garage, crank up the lawnmower, sit on it, and start mowing the grass. You see, you have to arise in order for there to be change. This word arise means I'm getting up to make changes. I'm getting up to make sure that we don't go on in the same old, same old. I'm tired of the status quo. I'm getting up, and I'm going to do something about it. And when I'm done, we will produce change. Now, you look at Grace Church, and you look at how Grace Church operates. For the most part, you have to admit, we have a few men at Grace. The few men that we have are hard workers. But everything really gets done by the women at Grace. It's the women of Grace Church that arise and make things happen. And it's not because the men are outnumbered. I think it also has to do with attitude. I just think it has to do with a certain level of commitment. Now, we have some great guys, and they're committed. But the women, there's something about the women of Grace. They shovel. They paint doors and they paint walkways. I've seen it with my own eyes. They cut grass. They cook. They're amazing. They teach. They lead in worship. They witness. They make phone calls. They drop food over people's houses. I mean, the women of Grace are change agents. And we don't know, again, we don't know if Deborah was a literal mother or not. We don't know if she had children. There is a possibility that she did. But notice, Deborah chose to become everyone's mother in the church. Everyone's mother. So that everyone had nurturing going on. And everyone had what? Had counsel provided to them. And everyone had what? An intercessor praying for them. And everyone had what? A word of wisdom when it was needed. Why? Because there's mothers in the church. Mothers, mothers, mothers who get up and say, you know what? We're not having this anymore. Things have got to change. You know, there's an organization called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. There's no organization called Fathers Against Drunk Driving. There's Mothers Against Drunk Driving. When you look at all the nonprofit organizations that exist in America, 95% of them have mothers leading them and mothers in their name. Mothers. Mothers say, you know what, enough's enough. We're tired. We are going to produce a revival, a much-needed revival. So that was Deborah. Deborah said, I've seen 20 years of this abuse. I've seen 20 years of apostasy. I've seen 20 years of the church going backwards. I see 20 years of the church in decline. I see 20 years of no one wanting to come to church. The streets are empty when people are supposed to go worship the Lord. People are afraid. People are in hiding. And I brought about change the moment I made up my mind to arise and produce change. I just came from a Sunday school meeting a couple of days ago, and it was all women except one man. One man was there. But that man and myself, we really didn't have, we were just there because we were invited to attend. But the women in the Sunday school ministry, who I will call mothers, the mothers of the ministry, They were wheeling and dealing, and they had their ideas, and they're preparing the calendar. Why? Because they want to affect their children and their grandchildren. And not just affect their children and their grandchildren, but other people's children, because when you're a mother to all Israel. You're a mother to everyone who enters through the church doors. It pains you to see families hurting. It pains you to see people going backwards when they could be going forward in the Lord. It pains you to see people going in circles. It pains you to see people in church year after year not advancing in the things of God. So then you arise and you say, you know what? Let's produce change. Mothers, church mothers like Deborah, are transgenerational change agents. You get grandma and grandpa to go to church. Then you get grandma and grandpa's children to go to church. Then you get the children of those children to come to church, and you've impacted three generations. You provide specialized care for the elderly. You provide specialized care for the middle age. You provide specialized care for the young couples. You provide specialized care for the youth. And then you provide specialized care for the children. Look at that. Look at all those groups we just spoke about. That's what church mothers do. They're visionaries. They just don't see one segment of the population. They see all Israel. All Israel is made up of everybody, every age group in the church. I was a mother, said Deborah, to every age group in the church. Believe it or not, Sister Torres tries to mother me. Sometimes I have to. She's a great mother to our four children. She's such a great mother that she thinks she. And of course, she's a great mother to Benji, the dog. Benji loves her. Benji knows that's his mom. But she's got the four kids and Benji, and then she tries to include me in the mothering. So sometimes she wants to be my mother. She'll tell me when I'm going to go do my visit. Do you have mints in your pocket? Yes. Did you change your undergarments? You know, she tries to mother me. To remind her every now and then, I say, honey, I'm okay. And, but she, when I go out the door, she wants to make sure that I represent properly. And that's what mothering is. Now, I'm older than my wife. I'm 3 years older than my wife, and yet she thinks I'm her baby. At times, and not in a negative way, but she just tries to mother me because that's what mothers do. Irrespective of your age, if you need mothering, how many times have we gone to a place and before going in, my wife, she tells me, okay, now remember, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And I can be in conversation with someone and I'm about to step in it. I'm about to say something that she won't approve of, and then she'll just give me a little tug on my shirt, and that's just mother trying to keep the little boy in check because I'm about to, not be nice. And she wants me to be nice all the time because I'm supposed to be representing the Lord. She's a mother in Israel, and every time there's a need, you see the mothers of the church spring into action, whether it is their child or not. Their child or not. Sunday school is a great example of how the Deborahs of the church spring into action to ensure that the children of the church are impacted for life. One of our young church members by the name of Austin Van Avery. He just moved to Tennessee. And for years, he came to Sunday school. He's a product of Sunday school. And when he took on a new job in Tennessee, we were all sad to see him go. But the church mothers, oh, how they spoke of Austin. He's one of ours. He's one of our, he was a little boy here, and he grew up in our church, and he attended Sunday school. And they were so proud to see him go to Tennessee, get his new job. church mothers. So, they are mothers to all in the church, just as God is God to all in the church. Here's a scripture text. Numbers. Let's go to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Here's an interesting text, because here the word, the Hebrew word kum, Q-U-M, appears. It says in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, and it came to pass when the ark of God set forward that Moses would say, rise up or come, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered. Notice, when Moses says, come, Lord, or rise up, Lord, it's not so that his enemies can stay there where they are standing now. No, when God arises, when God springs into action, the enemies are scattered. And let them, Lord, who hate thee, flee before your presence. You see, whenever God stands up, if we're using that language, whenever God arises, the way Deborah arose, change is supposed to take place. The enemy who is now staring you down is no longer staring you down, because God has sprung into action, and now instead of the enemy standing there looking at you with evil intent and hate, now all you see is his backside, because he's running and they're scattered. Then verse 36, and when the ark rested, Moses said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. You see, God is gone to all Israel, and mothers are mothers to all Israel. The same way God springs to action and defends the people and comes to their aid and comes to their rescue, the same way church mothers. Now, church mothers will fight the enemy. Church mothers will fight the Canaanites, but then they will be nurturing to the 10,000s of Israel. So they have one attitude towards sin, one attitude towards false teaching, one attitude towards the devil and his minions, and then have a completely different attitude, one of love and care for the people of God. Now, as we close today's study, mothers are to be model wives. In other words, they showcase, they exhibit what is being a wife. And in so doing, they reproduce themselves in whom? In their daughters, in their daughter-in-laws, and their granddaughters. So notice, mothers, godly mothers like Deborah, who wants to imitate a godly mother like Deborah? Well, their daughters do, and their daughter-in-laws do, and their little granddaughters want to. Think about that. Who wants to imitate a Deborah? All the women of Israel. And then not only does she reproduce herself in her daughters, in her daughter-in-laws, and in her granddaughters, but then she impacts her sons, her son-in-laws, and her grandsons. The woman of God, the woman who's like Deborah, the woman who arises and stands up for the Lord, impacts every member in the church. You know, my mother-in-law was great. I mean, who didn't love my mother-in-law? I got to tell you, her daughters loved her. My mother-in-law, who was a godly woman, a Deborah, her daughters loved her. And then her one daughter-in-law adored her. She had one daughter-in-law. My mother-in-law had one son. But that daughter-in-law adored her mother-in-law. And then all of her granddaughters loved her. But equally, her sons, her one son loved her. And then her three son-in-laws loved her. and all her grandsons loved her. You see, that's what a woman like Deborah does. She reproduces herself in those who are of the same sex, the females, and she impacts for life those males in her family. So a Deborah, a godly mother, a mother to all Israel, is a transgenerational change agent. We don't have too many role models. We don't have, when you look at the world today, who does the world have as a role model that they can emulate? What females are out there? Who are young girls in the world? Young ladies in the world, who are they going to emulate? Who are they going to emulate? Now, in the church, we have the perfect role models, and those are the Deborahs. Let's read Titus as we close. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women, likewise, that there be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And not just to be sober-minded in things spiritual, not just to love their husbands and their children, but also to teach the young ladies to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, Deborah was a good example of what we just read, because she was what? First a wife, then a judge, then a prophetess, then a warrior. Notice, wife, judge, prophetess, warrior, and then a mother. A mother. Don't tell me you can't do it, because Deborah did it. And she did it by following God. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about mothers in Israel. God bless you. And don't forget tonight's prayer meeting at 6:55 p.m.
Temptation, he is near. make